Begin the current daf. Masechtas Brachos daf Lamed Alf. Begin the Amud Alf, where Tosfos begins with the Divrei Maaseh, the words of the Gemara. Aisi kasa dezugisa chivarte. He brought a white glass, a goblet, which the Gemara brought the story with Mar Bereid Ravina that he made a chasna for his son. When he saw the rabbis were so happy, more than just what was appropriate, he broke a white expensive glass, which is worth 400 zuz. So Tosfos says, interestingly, Mikan Nagu, from here is where the custom came, L'shar b'zchuchas b'nisuin, that we break a glass by the wedding. This is from this custom, which the way Tosfos is interpreting is from this concept of too much levity is not appropriate, and therefore by breaking the glass, he brought them back to baseline. Now continue the next Tosfos, Dibri Masel. Tosfos begins with the words of the Gemara, B'mokim gila, in the place of joy, Shom tehei ro'ada, that's where there should be trepidation, which actually this Tosfos belongs on Lamed Amud Beis. Where Tosfos comes to explain, how do we expound this pasuk according to the simple translation? The Gemara brought, we learn from this pasuk, V'gilu b'rado, as Tosfos is bringing, in the place of joy, in other words, where there's simcha, that's where there should be ra'ada, there should be trepidation, there should be the fear of heaven. So Tosfos says, however, b'shudish al-mekah, the simple translation of the pasuk, is as the pasuk there is talking about, ivdus Hashem b'yira, serve God with fear. Then, then when there's going to come a day of trepidation, which is the day of judgment, then tegilu, then you're going to be rejoicing. This is explicitly how the Yerushalmi explains the pasuk. That's a simple translation. It's a continuation of the previous part of the pasuk. If du Hashem b'yira v'gilu b'rada, if you serve Hashem with fear, then you'll rejoice at the time of trepidation. Now, however, according to our Gemara's drash, the way you read the pasuk is if du Hashem b'yira, serve God with fear. Hainu tefila, that refers to prayer. Why? Because that's called the service. Like we learned in the Brice and the Sefri, in Pashas Ekev, Ula Avdi B'chalavavku, when it says to serve God with all your heart, Zut Tfilo, that refers to prayer. And therefore, that's why our Gemara learns up from this Pasuk that you have to daven with a Kavod Reish, with a heaviness of a head, which is the beginning of the Pasuk too. It's not just B'makam Gila Sham Teiru Adda, it's the beginning of the Pasuk also. Ivdu Seshem B'yira, what does that refer to? Ivdu, Ivdu is Tfilo, that should be B'yira, and therefore, even B'makam Gila was saying Sham Teiru Adda, person should have in that place of joy, he should also have a trepidation. He has to daven with a kavod reish. Now, continuing with the next Tais de Ramasal, Tais begins with the words of the Gemara, Hamakas dam bebehemas kadoshim v'chulu. Someone lets the blood, they used to do bloodletting, which would to be released some of the too much blood in the animal. So, if someone does that by an animal of a kadoshim, v'chulu, etc., which Tais asks on this teaching of Rav Huna Amar Rav Zeira. The Gemara had said, one of the opinions was, that when you come to daven, you should daven from halacha pesuka, with clarity, not some type of learning that your mind is all confused and you can't focus on your davening. A very clear halacha that you don't have to think about it. One of the examples was that of Rav Huna Amar Rav Zeira, that he says that if someone lets the blood of an animal that was a carbon, that it's forbidden to have benefit from it, and there's a prohibition of me'ila on that blood. Now, on that halacha, Tosfos asks, v'kashav, that's difficult. Because the Amud Per Gimel Davay Dezara, in the third parak Masechtas Davay Dezara, Nef Mem Dal Men Aleph, Gabi Dam Chitayim, whether it be the bloods that are on the outer Mizbeach, or the Dam and Penimim Shal Karbanos, or the bloods of the Karbanos that are put on the inner Mizbeach, either way, said the Gemara, but the Elu V'Elu, both bloods, when they come down from the Mizbeach, where you put the Shrayim, the leftover bloods, it goes down into the valley, and Imkarm Leganonim Lezavel, and it's sold for the gardeners as fertilizer, which that's what they would use the leftover blood of the Karbanos for. But one thing says Tosfos, Amma, that we see from that Gemara, the Ein Moilim Ben, that there is no me'ila in the blood of Karbanos. So how could Rav Huna, in the name of Zeira, say that if someone lets the blood of Behemoth Kaddishim, that there's going to be me'ila? The Yishlema, Tosfos says, what you could say is, the Hasam Hangul Achaz Rikas Dam, as the case we're talking about, that's the Shirayim. That's after the blood was already thrown. Ukvar, and its mitzvah was already done, and the Skapa Bailam, the owner's already got atonement. So when you already have what's called Nasa Mitzvasan, yeah, then there's no Meme'il on it. Mashenkin Hacha, what we're discussing over here, it's a regular carbon that he just let the blood because of medicinal purposes, whatever it is for the animal. The point is, but it was never, the mitzvah was never done with the blood yet, then there's still going to be Me'ila, and therefore that's the halacha that was being said, which is a simple halacha. There's not much to get confused about it, and then one could daven from that halacha. See, the next taste of the Ramaslu, it begins with the words of the Gemara, Rabbanan Avdi Kimasni. The Rabbanan, their custom was like the Mishnah, which Tosfos comes to explain what's the practical halach on this. Because the Gemara brought that the Rabbanan, they did like our Mishnah, which was that one should daven only from Kavod Reish, with a heaviness of a head. Rav Ashi, the Gemara said, he did like the Braisa, that no, you come to daven with a halacha psuka, like one of the examples we mentioned in the previous Tosfos. So Tosfos says that, like the Rabbanan, who they did like the Mishnah, that's how we rule. Ulechein, therefore, ein mespal and metech kalas reish v'sklik. We don't daven from levity and lightheadedness and laughter. And metech kavod reish, rather like the opinion of the Mishnah, which was with a heaviness, a humility, b'simcha shel mitzvah, and the rejoicing of a mitzvah, kagayin sha'asik b'divrei Torah. Like, for example, if one was involved in learning the words of Torah beforehand, that gives him a certain perspective and heaviness in life. Ulechein nagulim, and therefore it says, Tais, actually, this is where the custom came from, but that to say Pesuka de Zimra, songs of verses of song, what we call Pesuka de Zimra in our Shachris or Ba'ashrei, which we say before Mincha, that these are said Kaidim Tefillah because the words of Torah, that's the joy of Mitzvah, which gives a certain heaviness, not like levity and lightheadedness, which takes and detracts from that. And that came from this opinion of the Mishnah that we should daven from Kaivid Reish. Now, as continuing the next taste of the Rimasa with the words of the Gemara, as we mentioned, that Ravashi Abed Kebraisa, his custom was like the Braisa, which Taisus brings related the opinion of the Yerushalmi. The Gemara brought like Ravashi, like we said, did like the Braisa, that you daven from Alacha Pesukah. So Taisus brings that Yerushalmi says similarly, Lo Yamad V'Yispal, a person shouldn't daven and pray, Elam Techet V'Halacha, rather from a halachic teaching. Now, Amr B'Yirmiya, he says, O Isik B'Tzarchit Tzibra, now whoever was involved in the needs of the public, that's like someone who is learning the words of Torah, and therefore that would qualify similarly regarding coming prepared, whether that be considered a kavod reish, or whether that be considered, as it sounds like from Taisus, like halacha psuka, but be that as it may, Isaac b'tzarech tzibah, Taisus says, is from the Yerushalmi, is going to be a similar type of idea, and it's an appropriate way to prepare davening in front of Hashem. Now we continue with the next Taisus of Maskel. Taisus begins with the words of the Gemara, Shekim b'tzinu b'nevim rishayim. And this is what we find by the earlier prophets, that they finished off their teachings, their statements, with words of praise and of consolation, which Taisa brings to question the Yerushalmi and explains why didn't Yerushalmi ask from other places too? Because Yerushalmi asks on this, that yeah, the earlier prophets, they always ended off with words of praise and tachumen, but chutz, you have exceptions, that ended off with bad things. And so to Hoksiv, it says in the Pasuk in Eicha, it ends off Eicha, ki emois mastonu, if you're going to be disgusted with us. And therefore you see that the Megillah of Eicha also ended off with punishment. So that's the Yerushalmi's question on this teaching. But Mia, whoever says Taisus, Mahu Kroy, the slave tree Asr, Vikalis. However, regarding the last Pesukim of the Sefer of Tree Asr, which has 12 different prophets' teachings in one Sefer, and Vikalis, the Sefer Kalis, Loi Perch Midi, why doesn't Yerushalmi ask him there too, which also sounds like it's ending on a bad note? And that says Taisus, Shechesh Vibetayf, because it is considered good, because B'Divrei Tanchumen, there are words of consolation in those last Pesukim. Moreover, Valaimari Bipuranas to Israel doesn't talk about bad things relating to the Jewish people specifically, and therefore it was appropriate to end off those Svarim, but that wasn't the question of the Yerushalmi, it was only on Yirmiya and on Eicha. Now, continue with the next Taisi B'Maschel. Taisi begins with the words of the Gemara, Moitze B'Zavas Acheres, and they would find him in a different corner. Which Taisi asks on this custom of Rabbi Kiva and answers the question. The Gemara brought that the custom of Rabbi Kiva was, when he would daven by himself, you could leave him in one corner, and at the end of his daven, you would find him in another corner. Why? Because he did so many prostrations and bowing downs, he would end up, from all that movement, in the other end of the corner. Now, Tamar, Taisus wonders and asks us to take a second look. How could this be true? The Gemara says later on, if someone's coming to bow down at the end of every single bracha in Shemayin Esrei, Malamda Naisei Shalo Yishka, we teach him, no, not to bow down, because you're not allowed to bow down more than the four places that the sages said to bow down in Middle Shemayin Esrei. So how could we say Rebbe Kiva ended up in the other corner because he was always bowing down? You're not allowed to add on to the bowings. But Tirat HaRav Rabbi Yisav, he answers the Hocham Ari, here it was talking about, B'tachnunim Shehoyoy Ma'acha Yotchas Brachas. You're right, during Shemayin Esrei he wouldn't bow down more than the four times. But one is allowed to add on as much as he wants to after, by after Yil Ratzin, by Lekain Netzar, you could add on as much supplication as you want to, during those supplications where he kept on bowing down, and that's how he ended up at the other end of the room. But says Taisa, but Lain here, that doesn't seem to be the correct interpretation, the Hom Yud Ches Kama. It says that, similar to the case when he would daven by himself, it says similar that when he would daven with the Tzibur, which that's obviously talking about in the Shemayin Esrei. So it would seem like that all these bowings were during Shemayin Esrei. So how do we answer the question? So Benir Lahari, it seems to the Re, the Vada Besev Kol Bracha Asalishkas. You're right. As the question was asked, the Gemara tells later on, you're not allowed to bow down at the end of every bracha. Of the end of bracha, miu mutalishkas. But says the Re, but in the middle of the bracha, you're allowed to bow down. Ubahochi, Mari Hocha. And this is what it's referring to over here, Rabbi Kiva. Yes, it was during Shemayin Esrei, but not at the end of the brachas, it was in the middle of the brachas. Now, And as Taisus qualifies, you could show you Megillah, Sefer Bracha. Actually, when he would reach the end of each Bracha, if he would straighten himself out, that he shouldn't be in a bowed down position, because you're not allowed to bow down by the other Brachas, only by those four places. And says Taisus, L'kach Nago Eilim. And therefore, actually, this is where the custom in the world comes from, that Beresh Hashanah, B'yom Kippurim, the days of awe, Shemispalim, that when people daven Zachreinu, Uvachain Tein, V'simloich, Shasheichim, Kishemegim L'Psukim. They bow down when they come to these verses as a sign of submission to God. But at the end of these brachas, by Baruch Atah Hashem, they actually stand up straight. She'ein lishkes b'seiv brachas, that they shouldn't be in a bowing down position at the end of the brachas, elehecha d'taka, and only in the four places where it was instituted. So Tosfos brings that, yeah, Bekiva would bow down during Shemoneh Esrei, even though we say later on, you now bow down at the end of every other bracha, either according to Rabbi Yosef, because that's talking about the supplications after Shemoneh Esrei, or according to the Ri, no, the prohibition of bowing down by the other bracha is only at the end of the bracha. But in the middle is permitted, and Rabbi Kiva was bowing down in the middle of the brachas, and he would actually straighten himself out by the end of the brachas. Now, Ketin Tamid Beis, where Tosfos begins Divrei Maaseh with the words of the Gemara, Davish Eino Hogen, something that's not appropriate, which Tosfos comes to explain what's the chiddush in that drasha. The Gemara brought that Eli said to Chana, Hadmasai Tishtakrin, how long are you going to be intoxicated? So it's obvious from there that if someone sees something inappropriate by another person, he has to rebuke him. So Taisus says, Pirush, what that means to say is, Avagav Deleke Yisur De Raisa. Even though it's not a biblical violation that the person's violating, still you have to rebuke the person as long as it's not appropriate. Deike Yisur De Raisa, because if it was a biblical violation, Pshita, obviously, you don't need to learn that from Eli. It's a passing of Yukur Yotas that says to rebuke another person. Obviously, the chiddush that we're talking about over here is even though it's not a biblical prohibition. Now Taisus De Remaschal, Taisus begins with the words of the Gemara, Gavra Begovern. Taisus comes to qualify, what does this mean? The Gemara brought that according to Rav, this request that Chana requested from Hashem that she should have a Zera Anoshim meant Gavra Begovern. So what does that mean? So Taisus explains, Pirish, what it means to say is Adam She'echoshev Liman is Ben Anoshim, a person, a man, a son, that's going to be distinguished to be counted amongst other men. Meaning he fits in, he's just as distinguished as all the rest. That's what it meant, Gavra Begovern. Now we begin with Taisus Divrei Maaseh, Taisus begins with the words of the Gemara, Mikan She'shikar Osur L'Sbal. From here we learn out that someone who is intoxicated is forbidden to daven, which really this Taisus belongs on Amud Aleph. Taisus comes to, he brings the words of the Yerushalmi we're discussing here regarding davening intoxicated. Then he brings the Yerushalmi regarding benching, Birchas HaMazon, in the state of intoxication. So the Gemara had learned out from Yachsheveh Eilu L'Shikaira that a shikr is forbidden to daven. So Taisus brings that Yerushalmi, B'Masechta Trumas Perakam, in the first parak, Reb Zera Boi Kamir Derbami. Reb Zera asked him from the Rebami, Shikr Ma'ashri Yavarach, what's halacha? Could someone who's drunk bench Birchas HaMazon? You eat, you're satiated, and you bench. Pirish, what does that mean, medumdum? Even though he's so drunk, that he can't speak normally, that still you could bench. Because that's what it sounds like from the pasuk. You're satiated and you bench. Even if you went and you imbibed and you got full with drink and food, it doesn't make a difference. You're still going to do Birchas HaMazon, not like our Gemara regarding the tefillah, regarding Shemoneh Esrei. The next taste of Maaseh with the words of the Gemara, Mekansha Asalesha B'dal Amas Shel Tefillah. From here we learn out that one's not allowed to sit in 4 cubic amas, between 7 and 8 feet, from someone who's in the middle of davening. Which Taisus comes to explain, where do you say this prohibition? Because the Gemara brought that where he says, Ani Ha'isha, Chana said, I'm the woman Hanitzeves Imcha Bezeh, that stood with you over here. From here we learn out that you're not allowed to sit with the Dalai Lama's of someone else. So Taisus qualifies that this Isra is Bein Mulfanam, you're not allowed to be sitting with the Dalai Lama's is someone who's standing during Shemoneh Esrei, Beimel Fanav, whether it's in front of the person. Now the parentheses has Beimel Achrav, but the Gersoi say to take out that it's even behind, which the Pesachim do discuss that. Well, Beimel Natsdaden, and the prohibition is even on the side of the person with the Dalai Lama's. Now, however, Tosfos qualifies the Pirshut Chuvas HaGaonim. In the response of the Gaonim, they explain that that's Dafka B'yeshiva Batal. That's specifically only if someone just sitting idly, not doing anything, they're not allowed to be sitting with the Dalai Lama's of someone who's davening Shemoneh Esrei. Let's say you're in shul and you're in the middle of Kriya Shema or the Birchas Kriya Shema or things similar to that, then even though you're sitting Shabbat Dami, it's okay to be sitting within Dalai Lama, so someone who's davening Shemoneh Esrei, because you're also involved in Varma Shabbat Kedusha, and that's not where the prohibition was said. The next taste of Maaseh taste begins with the words of the Gemara that quotes the pasuk Imcha, which taste comes to explain how do you learn it out from Imcha, which the Machlik is Rashi and Taisus. The Gemara brought that from the fact that it says Imcha, so we infer that you're not allowed to sit within Dalai Lama's of someone who's davening. So Taisus explains, where do you learn it out from here? Because Imcha Mashma, with you, sounds like B'teich Arba Amas, within Dalai Lama's. Now, but what do you see regarding sitting? Because when it says imcha, it says it with a hey, like this, the word spelled that all the way, behey. Kalaima, what does that mean to say? Shlahoya Yosh Bitoch Abba Amishallah. He wasn't sitting within her four amas, Kiyim Bachamishis, rather in the fifth amma. Imcha, he was with her, sitting with a hay. The numerical value of hay is five. When was he sitting with her? It was only in the fifth amma, but not in the four amas. Now that's not like Rashi, who says, we learn that from Hanitzevis Imcha, meaning just like she was standing, so he who was in her Dalar amas, he was also standing. Now, like Taisa learns out from the hay that no, he was sitting, but only in the fifth amma, none of the four amas. Continuing the next Taisa, the Bimaschot, this begins with the words of the Gemara, Moira halacha b'fnei rabachat. Says, you are someone who ruled and the halacha in front of your teacher. Taisa is going to explain why was he considered his teacher. The Gemara brought that Eli said to Shmuel, this that you ruled, that a Yisrael, a non-kohen, is allowed to slaughter a carbon, so you were considered as if you ruled in front of your Rebbe, and you're liable for death. So Taisa wonders, why was he considered Moira hara b'fnei rabbi? It was just then that he came. He never had learned from him yet. So why was he considered his Rebbe to be Chayiv Misa? Says, in spite of that good Ladar, he was the great one of the generation. He's considered everyone's Rebbe. And additionally, he was coming to learn in front of him. From that itself, that he was coming to learn from him, he already automatically had the designation as his Rebbe, even though he hadn't learned from him, and therefore was forbidden to him have ruled in front of Eli. Now, the Gemara continues, Taisa the Ramaskal, Kal Yesha B'Tainis B'Shabbos. Whoever sits and fasts on Shabbos, which Taisa comes to qualify this halacha of fasting on Shabbos. The Gemara brought, whoever fasts on Shabbos doesn't eat, so they tear up a decree of 70 years of bed. But then they punish him for the fact that he didn't do Einik Shabbos. Now, Pirish Rach, the Rabbein Chananel explains, what type of fast are we talking about? B'Tainis Chalom, a fast when someone had a bad dream, which is an obligation to fast. That's what we're talking about regarding that type of person, is someone who is he fasts on Shabbos, but then he has to make that up. Now, v'cheinisa b'medrash Tehillim, so too this is brought in the Medrash of Tehillim. Now, additionally, regarding this halacha that we're saying, who's this one that's supposed to fast on Shabbos and it's, it tears up 70 years of bad, a tainus chalom, Taisa brings you, because yesha b'tainus chalom b'Shabbos, when someone actually does fast, what's called a tainus chalom, a fast because of a dream on Shabbos, pirish bahag, so the Baal Halacha is Gedolah, he explains, sha'imra anenu, like on the regular fast, you say anenu, which is regarding Hashem should answer us for our prayers that we're fasting for whatever the tzar is. He says it b'lekai nitzar. To end the Shemayin Esrei, b'lekai nitzar. And b'afilu kaveh bracha la'atma, and it even goes and makes that on Shabbos, you're going to make it its own bracha, like the way the Shlich Tzibur does on the tainus, unlike a yachid, by his own tzrila, the Shlich Tzibur ends off, Baruch Atah Hashem Ha'inim Beis Sarah, here this person who is having his own tainus Chalom Shabbos is going to also make a bracha out of itself, Kivin She'inim B'Teich Yitches, because it's not like a weekday that you say it in Shema Krileinu by Shema Tefillah, and therefore it doesn't make its own bracha, because you end up Baruch Atah Hashem Shema Tefillah going on in Einu too. Here that there's no Shema Krileinu on Shabbos, so therefore you don't put it there, you put on Kain Netzar, but then what bracha is included in? You make its own bracha. That's the difference between saying anenu on a weekday and on Shabbos.